Well, this morning, if you have the Word of God, let's turn again to Psalm 119. And I just want to read our thought for the week. We've been looking at one thought, but in Psalm 119, and we read on yesterday that the psalmist began to talk about how blessed a person was who was walking in holiness and walking in the obedience to God's word. And then he gives a rhetorical question in verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to your word. So he asked this rhetorical question, and then he answered it by taking heed to God's word. And for a review on yesterday, we said that if we're going to take heed to God's word, we need to recognize God is good. And we looked at a verse in Ecclesiastes 12:1, the son of David, David being the writing the Psalm 119, but Solomon says, remember the Creator in the days of your youth. He said, remember him while the evil days come not, nor the years draw near that thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. What is he saying? Remember God in your early years, that your older years would not be regretful. If you don't remember God in your younger years, you will have regrets in your older years. Many of you may not have been to a person's deathbed, but to see a person who is not a believer dying could be a horrible experience. Or to be around people who are sick and they're getting ready to die, but they have no hope beyond the grave. I remember when I was playing pro football, the athletes who weren't Christian, they weren't interested in coming to the Bible study or the chapel service on Sunday morning. We would have a chapel service around 8:30, but the guys wouldn't come to chapel service. And then during the week, they would have a Bible study on Monday nights, but the guys wouldn't come because they didn't need God on Monday night. And they didn't need God until they got an accident. If a guy, you can see a guy getting ready to have an operation, boy, he's coming to chapel and he's coming to the study because he wants you to pray. Why? Because his world has fallen apart. Man, when he's in trouble, he cries out to God. Why? Because he's looking for help. Some kind of God. Why? Because we are our own gods until God proved to us that we're not God. And so that's the experience of people, that if you don't live before God in a right way, there'll be a day that you'll cry unto this God. I've heard of soldiers overseas and they risk their lives, they're in war, they arrive, and they say, oh God, if you get me out of this, when I come back, I'll serve you. And they come back to America and start doing what they did before they left. I don't know if maybe you cried out to God, oh God, help me, or like I used to do when I was a kid, oh Mom, Dad, I'm not going to do that anymore. And I'm crying, and then they don't spank me, but as soon as they turn their back, I'm back doing what I'm doing again. Because the big issue is we don't want to get caught. See, we don't want to stop doing wrong. And so if I get caught, the thing is, I'm going to tell them I'm not going to do it wrong. Next time, I need to be more deceptive so I don't get caught. So man in his sin, he's not interested in changing naturally. He just don't want the punishment for his sin. And so the psalmist is asking a question: how should a young person cleanse their way? How could they be blessed by God? And so we looked at recognizing God. But this morning, if we're going to remember God rightly, we must realize that we're in a world that's not good. God is good, and God created a good world. But you and I must realize that this world that we're living in is not good. Well, what has happened to it? That's what we're going to look at this morning. You and I must realize that what's happening in the world is a problem, and the problem started not with God, it started with man. I don't know if you, when I grew up and you start doing something wrong, people would say, God's going to get you. as if God was some person up there trying to get after us. But the problem in the world is not what God did. The problem in the world is what God creatures did, who God had entrusted the goodness of this world to them. And that's what we want to see this morning. So let's open in a word of prayer and trust the Spirit of God to lead us this morning through his word. Father, we do give thanks this morning that we can say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's in me, bless his holy name. Because it's well with our soul. You sent your son to redeem us. And we thank you this morning for so great salvation, that this one who is altogether lovely have redeemed us with precious blood. And we have a merciful high priest who ever lived to make intercession for us. And that you, the God of creation, is our Father, and we can come and ask you to speak. Speak, Lord, in the stillness while we wait on you. Hush our hearts to listen in expectancy. And Father, I would ask this morning for that one of those ones bowed in your presence who know not your son. Would you open their hearts as you open Lydia's heart? We pray for the interest of your word, because the interest of your word give light and it gives understanding. Speak, Lord, thy servant listen. In Jesus' name, amen. How shall a young person cleanse his way? And the psalmist said, taking heed or listening to and obeying God's word. Obeying God's word. You know, it's one thing to recognize that the world God has created. And many people believe that God created the world, except some of the evolutionists. But they believe that God created the world. But just believing that God created the world is not enough. Because if you look at this world, Wallace, you tell me that God made everything good, but I don't see things good. I don't see things good in the world, and I don't see good people in the world. I see people hurting people. I see people destroying people. I see people stealing, robbing. I see people that's not good. Well, what's the problem? Well, God tells us. If you will, turn with me in Genesis. We want to do a brief study, a very brief study of Genesis. We saw yesterday that in Genesis 1, God created everything good, and God put man in the garden and told him to take care of the garden. And then we'll start in chapter 2. This is a review. God is now going to take chapter 2, and he's going to give us some details of how, after creating the world and putting man in the world, but how he did it in more detail. So in Genesis chapter 2, the scripture says in verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden in the eastward in Eden. And there he put man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, God made, the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and all good food. And the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so God had planted a tree, all these trees. And then there was one tree, the knowledge of good and evil. And then in verse 15. And the Lord God took man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. This is for our young men in here. Before God give you a wife, he's going to give you a job. No job, no wife. Girls, man with no job, no husband for thee. Why? God is not going to give you a girl. He's going to give you a job. Ladies, you don't want to marry little boys that like to play but don't like to work. Not a good job. You'll be taking care of a 40-year-old boy all your life. Thank you, guys. You appreciate that, don't you? Thank you, Wallace. You're really helping out my dating fair. but intelligent. God gave man a job before he gave him a wife. Remember, men, work is not sin. It's a part of God's privilege for you as a man to be a provider, a protector, one who established and honors God's creation. Could God have entrusted this creation to you? And so God put man there. And then the Lord, verse 18, and the Lord God said, well, verse 17, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But in verse, and then he says to them, for the day that thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. So he tells Adam, listen, you're in here, but there's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. But if you eat from this tree, you shall surely die. So God has put Adam in a garden, and it's a good garden. He's given him a job. And then God is a protector. Not only is he a provider, but he's a protector. Adam, don't eat from this tree, because you eat from this tree, you shall surely die. All these other trees you can eat from, but this tree over here, if you eat from, you're going to surely die. So God is a God of wisdom. And so he puts man there, give man the responsibility to take care of all the garden. And every tree is yours to eat. Do what you want from the other trees, but this tree, don't bother it. So God is a protector. In his wisdom, he tells you what's good for you, and then he tells you what's bad for you. He's always does that. The Bible always tells you, here's what's going to benefit you, and here's what's going to hurt you. And so he does that for man. God is good. And then, verse 19. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that's the name thereof. And Adam named all these animals. And then verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto a man. Now notice, Adam didn't go out there looking for a wife. Guys, please don't go look for a girlfriend. What are you saying, Wallace? You might find, what do you wait? Look for God, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright. Girls, don't look for a guy. Why? Because God's ways is, you find satisfaction in me, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. See, we began to seek for things that we don't even understand. God will provide all your needs. He'll bring them to you. So Adam, God brings this woman to Adam. And then Adam, verse 23, and Adam said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And then the both of them were naked, and man and his wife were not ashamed. Why did God make Eve? Because God said it wasn't. Man has a job. He's responsible for protecting this world. But it's not good for man to be alone. Isn't God? God said it wasn't good for man to be. Man didn't say, oh, God, it's not good for me to be in this garden by myself. He didn't even know he was by himself. God said it's not good for man to be alone. And God get a helpmeet, the right helpmeet for him. And then Adam named his wife. My wife is called Cheryl Francis because she took my last name. Say how blessed she is, guys and girls. Take that off of tape. My wife don't need to hear that one. I'm joking. What? It's a great privilege to have a wife that God give you. It's a great privilege to take care of a woman that God give you. So men, it's a great privilege when God give you a wife. It's a precious thing. Because every good and perfect gift comes from who? God. And God said it wasn't good for man to be alone. And God brought the right woman for man because God is good and he wants that which is good for Adam. Always remember, God has what's best for you if you're willing to walk his ways and wait his timing. And so Adam gets a wife and he names her. And then in chapter 3, you begin to see what's going to happen now. In chapter 3, now the serpent was more subtle than all any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat from the fruit of the trees of the garden, but in the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. And the serpent said unto the woman, at least you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you won't die. You will not surely die. God know that the day you eat thereof, then your eyes should be open, and you should be as God, knowing good and evil. So what's the serpent, the devil, the deceptive one? The first thing he tries to tell the woman is God is not good. Now, many of you who's sitting in here and you're not Christian, here's what you believe in your mind. You got it from Adam after he fell. You don't believe God is good, because if you did believe he was good, you'd obey him. And so the lie in every person's mind who's not a Christian, the lie in their hearts and mind, God is not good. He doesn't know what's best for me. I have to take control of my life because God is not good. And he doesn't understand what's going on in the world. He doesn't understand my emotion. He doesn't understand what I desire. God is not good. I've got to figure it out. And matter of fact, when I get to be 16, mom and dad don't know what's going on. Mom, dad, you're too old. I'm 16 now. I can fend for myself. Just give me the money and the car. Give me the money and the car. Where are you going? I'll tell you when I get back. I'm not sure yet. Mom, dad, I've run out of money. Could you drive up here and bring money, bring the credit card. Why? And go back home. I'll call you when I need you again. I'm in control now, mom, dad. What's happening is that now man playing God. He doesn't need anyone to tell him or her what to do. Why? Because we're young enough now. We know what's going on. These people are too old to know everything. And so we as human beings, listen, we're so wise. God, you don't know how to run this world. We've got it. Stay up in heaven. We'll call you when we need you. Now, surely we don't say this with our mind, but in our hearts, we live it out. And every person who is born in this world, born with the Frank Sinatra disease. I'm aging myself. What is that, Wallace? I did it my way. And so Adam, well, how did that come about? Well, I'll tell you. Look what he says in verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took from the fruit thereof and did eat and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. And then they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees. Now, get a picture of this. Adam and Eve. Eve takes the fruit, eat from it, give it to Adam. He eats from it. And then God's conscious presence is coming in the garden, and they sense it and they hide from man. Let me say this. Every person who's not a Christian is hiding from God. Why? They're hiding from God. They're trying to hide from God in many ways. In every person. You're naked. And when you begin to hear the gospel or you hear the commandments, you know, they've taken the commandments out of the school now. When I was a kid, the commandments was in the school, was every place. Why? Because the commandments of God tells you how wrong you are. That's what the commandment was given. Not to tell us how right we are, but how wrong we are. And there's only two commandments. I didn't have to break 10 of them. I just had to break two. You know what the two commandments I broke? Well, the first one was, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Well, I wanted God to love me first. And if he loved me first, he'll give me what I want when I want. And when he don't, I'll get mad and get in the corner and pout. People do that with parents right now, children. I know you guys don't do it. But the first commandment is love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Well, I love me first and then God. And then love my neighbor as myself. No, I love God. I want God to love me. I want people to love me. I want God to do what I want him to do. And I want people to do what I want them to do. It's me, myself, and I. That's the only important people in the world. That's the attitude you have before you're a Christian. Me first, me second, me third. It's all about me. Me, 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 me. That's man. Now, How do you know? If you got a little brother or sister, they're born with a nature to go their own way. They want what they want when they want, and if you don't give it, they pout, cry, and everything. Why? And when they dirty diapers, they cry, clean me up. Now get out of my room. I'm ready to sleep. And they cry, bring me a bottle. Get out of my face. Put me around the toys. I want any toy, every toy. I want the toy that other people have. I see this person with a toy. I want that. I want that. Why? That's their little attitude. What are they? They're just little rebels born with a nature to go their own way. Where did he get it from? We got it from Adam. Adam rebelled against God, and Eve and Adam rebelled against God. And ever since then, man wants his own way, and he gets mad when he can't have it. And he blamed God. I don't know why God gave me these kind of parents. They don't obey me. What kind of parents are you? Don't you see I'm upset? Give me what I want and then get out of my way. I'm just saying, we don't say it with our mouth, but that's our attitudes of our heart. We want what we want. Now, where do we get it from? Well, I'll tell you in a few minutes. And look, go on. And so here's what they do. Their eyes was open, and then they heard God's voice in verse 8. And they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? And Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself. And he said, who told thee you were naked? Who told you you were naked, Adam? Have you eaten from the tree? And Adam goes to say, yeah, God, I did it. No, the woman you gave me. I didn't ask for her, you remember? So Adam, oh, he's a bad man. The woman you gave me. The problem I have is the woman you gave me. It ain't. I didn't eat from the tree. The woman took it, gave it to me, and she's the problem. You call that the blame game. You know how people get in trouble, and always my friend. Somebody else did this. I didn't do it. Mom, that ice cream just jumped out of the refrigerator in my mouth. Dad, I didn't take the car. The key jumped in my hand and the car just pulled me in. And I drove by my friends and they pulled me and made me stop and I picked them up. And I know you told me not to drive the car when you're not home, but all these people just made me do it. I don't want to be blamed for what I've done wrong. And so that's the attitude. We hide and then we blame others. So Adam didn't blame Eve. He said, the woman you gave me. You remember, you put me in this trouble. You have people today. Why did God make the world like this? Why did God do this? God is the problem of the world. Not me, God. And so you and I have to have a right attitude about God. God made a good world, and man now is blaming other people and blaming God. If you're not a Christian, that's all you're going to get in the media, and that's all you're going to get around, and that's all going to come from your heart. Why? Because you and I was born with the nature that came from Adam after he fell. What's the nature? It's to blame God and to blame others, and always hiding, playing hide and seek with God, as if God have to look behind a tree. Oh, I look through the tree. I see you behind the tree, Adam. Leaves. So I want us to realize that God is good and he's omniscient and omnipresent, and man is hiding from God. And then verse 12, and the man said, the woman whom thou gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. And the Lord God said to the woman, what have thou done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. Let me say this. The man blames the woman. The woman blamed the serpent. She right. The serpent did deceive her. But notice this. And I want to say this to you guys. If you ever get married, if I can use this term, girls, you who don't understand sports, your boyfriend will tell you about it. You the quarterback. When there's a play that goes wrong, the coach is not going to call the other players. I dropped the ball. Wallace Francis dropped the ball. The coach don't call Wallace to the sideline. He called the quarterback. Why did you call that play? I didn't tell you to call that play. I told you to call a running play. What? You're the quarterback of the house. If there's a wrong play, God's going to call you, man. Don't blame your wife or you, or if you get married one day for your problem. The ball is in your court. You jump offside, the whole family suffers. The ball is in your court. And if you can't live as one in authority, don't get in authority. Why? Because you're responsible. Yes, Eve took the fruit. Adam ate from it. God gave Adam the responsibility. Don't blame the wife, Adam, for your problem. And don't blame God. You. Guys, the first enemy of our soul would like to remove man out of the position that God had put him. And he's willing to back away from his responsibility. That's one big problem in America. That's a whole nother sermon. But I just want us young guys, you guys who are young Christian, realize that God has a responsibility for you. And your responsibility is to be one who lives to please God, protect your family, provide for your family, and prove what's good for your family. As for us and me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You're not going to be that way unless you be a Christian. Because you're going to live by another philosophy if you're not a Christian. So what's my point? My point this morning was the world became bad because the woman was deceived, Adam disobeyed, and the devil now comes in control. Now, if you read the rest of the Genesis, you begin to see how this problem played out. And then God kicks Adam out of the garden. First, God clothed him and kicked him out of a garden. But God promised that he's going to send a seed of a woman. And the seed of the woman the serpent is going to bruise his heel and he's going to crush his head. And then when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he was born of a woman, and virgin birth right there. And then he's going to crush the serpent's head and the serpent's going to bruise his heel. Picture of the cross. Why? Because God has promised redemption. And we'll talk about that next tomorrow. But the one thing I want us to get a hold of this morning, the problem in the world is that man has rebelled against a good God. What's the problem? Rebellion. And because he has rebelled, he produced little rebels. Did you know that? Turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 5. Look what Psalm 51, verse 5 says. David is writing here and he says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Let me say this. I have some beautiful little grandchildren. Beautiful, precious, sweet, love them very much. They're just two little rebels. Born with a nature to go their own way. They got it from their mom and dad. And my darling daughter got it from me. And I got it from my parents. And we just keep going back. Why? Because you were born with a nature. Born in sin, shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. Born depraved. What do you mean? You're born to go your own way. That's the nature that every person is born with. You don't learn sin. You just choose. You know how you go to the ice cream stand? And if I went to the ice cream stand and you guys want to take me, I'd be happy to go. But give me some pineapple ice cream or chocolate. Pineapple sherbet or chocolate. Why? That's my flavor. And I love it. Pineapple sherbet. Be happy to have that too. Friday night with nuts. But here's my point. Here's my point. That's my flavor. Let me say this. Man was born with a nature to go its own way. The flavor of your sin may vary. Fornication is just a flavor that you like because the nature of the rebel that you are don't want to live morally. Homosexuality is just a flavor of sin. Rebellion against God. Stealing, lying, it's just the flavor you choose to do. Why? Because the nature of the rebel is to rebel. God didn't make man a sinner. God made man good. And man sinned, and every man since Adam was born with a nature to go its own way. It varies, but everybody. Nicodemus, Jesus told him you had to be born again. Why? Because Nicodemus was religious, moral, but still lost. All the good stuff he did couldn't get him into heaven. Why? Because his nature needed to be changed. Let me say this. You cannot do what God wants you to do until you get a new nature. You must be born again. Why? Because the nature that you and I were born with is a nature that rebels against God, and your flavor is whatever pleases you. And so all the different types of sin in the world, everybody say, well, why? God made me like this. No, you didn't make it like this. You just went to the ice cream stand and chose that flavor. And the nature that's in you allowed you to choose what you want to do, because the devil is a fisher. And if you're from Louisiana, you go fishing. Another Louisiana story. But in Louisiana, you should be from Louisiana if you're not. But in Louisiana, I live there, and we're about 13 miles from Tabasco sauce. And you have the Gulf of Mexico and nice salt water. And if you're going to go catch those fishes, you can't. You've got to have a nice line with pretty tackles, and you catch the fish. But if you want to go to the bayou, that's a little toward north, and you go to the bayou, well, you can use worms and crickets and anything like that. But if you go to the Gulf of Mexico and you bring a worm, sophisticated fish, they don't even look at a worm. Why? The hook with a worm on that, saltwater fish don't want that. Go to the bayou, oh, any kind of worm will do. Why? Let me say this. The devil will fish you whatever bait you like. If you like immorality and drugs and partying and foolishness and let your pants hang down and let your hair go and paint your face and put metal in your tongue, oh, he'll give you that. It's your thing. Do what you want to do, the devil says. But you like to be flash. I want a nice car, and look, I want to be Mr. Cool. I want to be Mr. Musclehead, and so the girls can walk around and say, ooh, he's a muscle man. Yeah. So you walking around, you're cool. You got the nice clothes on and muscles out of your eyebrows, and you know she's looking at you. You know, you're down, whatever y'all call it these days. Why? So you got, why? Because you got to impress. But all I'm saying is, it's still you. Bad you, good you, but it's you. And God want to change you. Not to be someone else, but he want to give you a nature that you can be what he created you to be for his glory. That's why, no, I came from a small family of 14. 11 boys and 3 girls. It's in the gumbo. Don't move to Louisiana after you get married. But I love my parents, because my mom and dad never tried to make us to be like each other. Each person had their own personality. What am I saying? God didn't make you to be like someone else. He made you to be who you are by your personality. And he wanted to make you like Christ in your personality. But he doesn't want you to be like someone else. He wants you to be like Christ. And Christ was one who came to please his Father and obey his Father. His desire was to glorify God. God wants you to be a young man, a young woman that lives for the glory of God. If you eat or drink, you do it all for the glory of God. Whether people like it or not, I'm not doing it for the praise of men or the booze of men. I'm doing it for the glory of God. So if you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. Then your identity is secure. See, you're not controlled by public opinion. You're not controlled by the praise of people or the boos of people. I remember, if I can use this illustration, just imagine, it's only imagine now because I'm not a Falcon player anymore. Just, you got to imagine after, you know, 64 years old. But just imagine I'm playing with the Atlanta Falcons. I'm playing against your team that you hate and I hate, the Dallas Cowboys. All you Dallas fans could leave. But anyway, no, don't leave. But I'm running for a touchdown, and I have the ball. I'm running for the touchdown. I'm in Dallas Stadium, and I'm running for a touchdown, and the Dallas fans are booing me, and I don't like people to boo me. So I'm going to turn around and run the other way, right? So they won't boo me anymore. Should I do that? No. Say that with me. No. But guess what? I'm in Dallas and I'm running for a touchdown and the Falcons fans are on the other side and they're cheering me, so I'm going to stop and wave at them. Thank y'all for cheering. Should I do that? No. The boos shouldn't distract me and the cheers shouldn't distract me. The goal should be preeminent. The goal is to get in the end zone. The boos of the world or the cheers of the world should not distract you. You're living for the glory of God. And if people boo you or cheer you, the cheers can encourage you. But it's not encouraging you to stop the wave. It's encouraging you to go on. The boo should encourage you. Why? Oh, I must be doing something right. The devil is tormenting me. And he chose so-and-so to say bad things about me. Hallelujah. Thank you. I expect that of you, the devil. Oh, you are so bad, devil. I'm worse than that. You just don't know. Why? Thank God for the blood of Jesus. So when he tell you how bad you, oh, I remember you did this at 10. Oh, devil, there was some other stuff I did. You don't even remember. But there's blood to wipe that out too. What am I saying? Don't be taken up with voices that's not the truth of who Christ is and who Christ have made you, and your heart desire is to know Christ and please Christ. What am I saying? That the nature that's in us has to be changed. Why? Because we just saw that I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I want you to get a hold of this word, depraved. What is depravity? You were born to go your own way, and that's your nature, and it's not going to change until you're born again. And you can be moral, and you can look good on the outside, but in the inside, you know, I had a big test, if you don't mind me using. I was trying to love God, and I wanted to love other people. And I can love people that are lovable in my sight. But when God showed me, I can't love folks who don't say good things about me. It's like on a football field. I don't love this guy. I want to tackle me. If he just let me score a touchdown, I like him, but he want to tackle me. And so, you know, when you want to do something and people try to stop you from doing it, you my thing is in football, you stiff arm them, kick them, do anything, just get to the end zone. And so when I became a Christian, I wanted to do the same thing. Listen, if you don't say good things about me, I'm going to beat you up with my tongue for Jesus' sake. No, it's for my sake. Why? Because you didn't say it. Right. What am I saying? I'll say right things wrongly to you. Why? Because you don't treat me the way I want to be treated. I'm Christian. Love me. God love me. You love me. Everybody should love me. I'm worthy to be loved. That's why I tell people, God don't love you because you're good. He loved you when you were no good. Now you ought to be good. Because his love came to set you free from you loving you and wanting others to love you. Now I don't have to worry about people loving me. I can love God and love others. Why? Because God gave you a love for him and a love for others. And you can love your enemies. You say, how? Because the one who loved his enemies is in you if you're born again. And he give you the power to do what you can't do on your own. That's what it means to be born again. That God give you a hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you want to do what's pleasing to God, even if people boo you. Even if they cheer you, you're not doing it for the praise of men. You're doing it for the glory of God, and you have a hunger and thirst to do it. People ask me, Wallace, was it hard to leave football and all the money and come to this Bible school? No, not after God had changed my nature. I was able to put down my idol. We have any 18-year-olds in here? Raise your hand. 18-year-olds. Now, girls, go and get a little cap gun and give it to these 18-year-olds. I want you to put on your little gun and walk around and shoot at people. You know, like you did when you were a little boy. And you would say, now what is this person over here? Or give him a little truck and let him walk around a little truck. You would say, what is wrong with that person over here? That's childish. You're not going to see an 18-year-old. Mom and Dad, I want a car. And they go get a little tanker truck. No, Mom and Dad, y'all. I don't want that kind of truck. I want a truck that I can get in. Why? Because that was what I got. Let me say this. When God changed your heart, the toys of this world you don't want. It's embarrassing to even do those things. That's why some people who are not Christian, they think you're foolish. Oh, you don't do those things? No. Why? They don't satisfy me. They're the toys of the world. I'm marching to Zion. I'm a citizen of heaven, and I don't play with the toys of the world. Why? Because I have the real thing. When you got a real truck, you're not going to run around here drive. Well, we're going to go to the lake. I'm going to push my truck all the way up to the lake. You're not going to do that. And so let me say this. Don't live for the toys of this world. You have to show people that you have a real, something that's real, that's not of this world, is from heaven, and you're headed toward heaven, and you're trying to tell them to get aboard. Did you go? That's what it means to be a Christian. It's to live not for the toys of this world, but for the total praise of God. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's what it means to be born again. That's what God is going to put in your heart, that he's going to take away from that depraved nature, that nature that seeks to go its own way. And he gives you a nature now that live for the goodness of God, because God has changed my heart. And now I don't have the nature to go my own way anymore. I have a nature that hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so that's what's happening. So we realize that we're in a world that is not good, because there's been deception that came from the devil, and Adam disobeyed Eve, and then we're all born with a nature to go our own way. And so there is sin in the world. Now, I want to give you some verses. We're going to turn to Romans chapter 5. Because this is what we have to realize. Not only do I need to realize that I'm born with a sin nature, I have a nature to sin. I was born with that nature. We all was born with a nature. But then in Romans chapter 5, we know how we got that nature. You need to realize what's going on in the world. And all those who are not Christian need to realize, we need to realize what they are. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, by one man sin into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, because all have sinned. For by one man sin into the world, and death by sin, and in death passed upon all men, all have sinned." If I can use another football illustration, if one person jumps offside, the whole team suffers from it. Adam jumped offside, and we've all been penalized. But deeper than that, not only all were penalized, we all have the nature to jump offside like Adam. We are affected by Adam's sin, but we infected with Adam's nature to jump offside, to not to play according to the rules that God has set aside. And that's our nature. For by one man sin, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, because all have sinned. That's what we have to realize in the world. Man has a nature to go his own way, and it's in him. It's embedded in us. We got it from Adam. And then he says this. Look in verse chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 10. In verse 10 of chapter 3. "As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understand it. There's none that seek it after God. They are all gone out of the way. They all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one." So he says, listen, there's none. And look at verse 18. Here's the big problem. "There is no fear of God before their eyes." Here, God is present, and people will hide from other people and don't hide from God. He's present, and they do what God says wrong without any fear of God. And he's right there with them. Why? Because you can't hide from God. In God, we move and live and have our being. And so people disobey God's word and have no fear. Matter of fact, they flaunt it. That's how blind we can become, that God is present and we can break his commandment, but we hide from others, but we can't hide from God, and we don't have any fear, and we have to stand before God to give account of what we've done. That's how blind we are. Blind to realize I can hide from others, but the one who I've got to give account to, he sees. I can hide from mom, I can hide from dad, I can hide from friend, but I can't hide from God. He sees. And I got to give an account to him for what we've done. And that's why the hymn writer says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. I was blind. And listen, I'm sinning against God, and I see that my sin is against God. And then I see that God so loved the world that he gave his son for me. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, would die for me? You mean I was your enemy and you want to be my friend? You mean that you're going to die in my place and bear my punishment? I'm your enemy and you're going to make me your friend? Amazing grace. The just for the unjust. It would be like me. I got hit by two linebackers and I get up and thank y'all for tackling me. This guy's nuts. Guess what? You and I stiff-arm God. And he says, I still love you. I want to cleanse you. I want to change you. I want to be your friend. I want to wipe out all you did against me. I want to remove it from you. Who loved like that? Nobody but God. Why? And there's none righteous. And so the gospel is good news. Why? Because we understand the bad news. Look at verse 23. Look what he says. For all have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. All. Let me tell you what all mean in the Greek. All mean all. And that's all mean. Greek and Hebrew. Spanish, English, even Creole. All mean all. All have sinned. So guess what? And his blood will cleanse you from all your sins. His cross is able to deliver you from all your transgression. His resurrection has pleased God in all ways. And he's able to save you to the uttermost. Why? Because his blood has all the power. And his son will save all that comes to him. And he'll no wise cast out. And that's why it's the gospel for the world. It's good news. But it's good news with people who realize the bad news. What's the bad news? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man is under the powers of darkness. And man is living in a deceptive, dark world that's destined to destroy him. There's only three things I want you to know. There's only three things you can get out of this world. And you can get it out of this world. What are those three things? Well, turn with me, 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. There's only three things this world can give you. And many people strive after them. I did at one time. There's only three things. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world pass away and all the lust thereof. And he that doeth the will of God abide forever. There's three things you can get in this world. Let me let you know. If you're not going to follow God and follow Christ in this world, there's only three things you can get in this world. You may not get them, but you can get them if you work hard enough and go after. You can get it. You can get pleasure, the lust of the flesh. You can get pleasure in this world. You can get possession. You work hard enough, you can get possession. You can become a star in this world, a fallen star, but it'd be a star. And you can get position. You can become somebody in this world. But that's all you can get. Because pleasure is a part of the man who wants to die, and after that, the judgment. Solomon had 70 wives. I don't know why he needed 70. But he had 700 wives. And they didn't satisfy him. Jesus said, what profit a man if he gained the whole world? Don't just get things. Go get the whole world and lose your soul. If you and I own the whole world, it won't satisfy your soul. Why? Because man's soul was created by God. God breathed in Adam's nostril, and Adam became a living soul. And the only thing going to satisfy your soul is when God is living in your soul. So Jesus said, what profit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Why? Because the whole world will not satisfy your soul. Not things in the world, the money in the world, the fame in the world, the cars in the world, the fun in the world. Get it all. Get the whole world. And it won't satisfy your soul. Why? Because your soul can only be satisfied by the one who created your soul. You have to realize that. How shall a young man cleanse his way, a young person cleanse their way? They have to realize that my soul is more valuable than the whole world. Why? Because the creator of the world sent his son to die in this world. Why? To cleanse my soul that's dirty in the world. So the world can't satisfy my soul. The one who created the world came into the world to save me out of the world. Your soul can't be satisfied with what God created. Your soul can only be satisfied by the creator. You have to realize that. That Jesus Christ came to bring peace to your soul. To give your soul the prosperous experience of joy that the world didn't give. The world can't take it away. To give you peace. And then you become a person who has wisdom to know how to handle the things that God has given in the world. You become a steward then. Why? You realize that this world is held captive by the devil, and this world is held captive by the prince of darkness who came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so you're not trying to get out of the world. You're just trying to make sure that you're following the shepherd who's going to protect you in the world, because he's going to lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And so you make the Lord your shepherd, and then you live by the shepherd's word, and you trust the shepherd's pattern. I think they call it, what is it, GPS? What is that? Am I right? GPS, guide you someplace. Well, guess what? If I can use this, it would direct you to the right courses in life. Because as you read God's word, he directs you on how to have a relationship, how to live in the world, how to say no, what to say no to, what to say yes to, how to live in a way that honors God. Let me say this, and I'll close with this. Realize that this world is a place of darkness. And realize there's a person who's called the prince of darkness and his demon, and all they desire to do is to give you the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He, the devil, the enemy of our soul, just want you to be satisfied with the now and the now and the now. Don't think about eternity. Live for the time. Don't think about what God think. Just live for you. It's all about you. And people are saying that today. And the Christian is a person who realizes God is good. The world is held captive by darkness. But I have a divine calling that I've made the Lord my shepherd. And I realize that I don't have to worry about the pressure of the world. I don't have to be discouraged by the things that's going on in the world. Well, what happened if a bomb get thrown on us? Hallelujah. I'm going home. It's well with my soul. What happened if America get wiped out? Hallelujah. I'm going home. Why? Because home is not here. We're aliens. We're pilgrims. We're passing through. We're marching to Zion. If you're not marching to Zion, you need to worry, because it's not going to get better. I'm not a pessimist, but I want you to know things are not going to get better in America. Why? Because America is not going to heaven. Americans will go to heaven. So I'm not trying to change America. I want God to change Americans. Africans, Canadians, Indians. Why? Because God came to save people, not places and things. God so loved the world, he gave his son. Why? Because God is calling people to himself that they might come to know the Prince of Peace and make the Lord their shepherd. And he's marching them to Zion. And we're here to be light in a dark world and telling people how to get to the Father's house. If you're living for any other reason, you're going to live in frustration. Get money. In 1979, I'll close this. In 1979, I had a 13-room house, 5 bathrooms, 2 kitchens. National commercials, local commercials, Alfa Romeo, Mercedes, And had I died in 1979, I would have woke up rich, famous, and in hell. Why? Because I didn't know Jesus Christ. Is anything wrong with having nice things? No. Is anything wrong with being a great celebrity? No. It just doesn't take you to heaven. And then God allowed teammates to speak to me, bring me to a place I heard the gospel here, and he gave me grace to tear down my idol. Why? Why me? I don't know. It's amazing grace. There's nothing wrong with getting things in the world. The issue is, get the God of the world. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. He's a good God. But you have to realize that the goodness is not in the world. The goodness is in God. And Jesus is a good shepherd who want to lead you in the path of righteousness, for his name's sake. What a privilege to live in a ruined world with a real Redeemer. If you don't know the shepherd, you need to realize he can change you. Why? Because that's why he came. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's close in prayer. Father, we do give thanks this morning that in a world that's been fallen in the darkness, you sent your Son. And we thank you that he is the Prince of Peace. All power has been given unto him in heaven and earth. And I pray for these young ones bowed in your presence that you would make yourself real to them. And those who are your children, they might be strengthened by your Spirit to stand in a dark day for the glory of the Lamb. And for that one, those ones who are here who have not received him, give them eyes to see, grace to receive, and hearts to obey all that your word says by your Spirit. We thank you for our time together in your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.